Hey, today we are in the third installment of this brand new series, this brand new campaign that we began called Expansion. And expansion for us is a big deal. You see, this series wasn't really one that we foresaw coming. This was one of those interruptions, but it was one of those good God interruptions in our schedule. We did not know this was going to happen, but we just couldn't escape the fact that we believed that God was speaking this word over our church, this word expansion. Can everyone say to one of your neighbors, say, it's time to expand. Now, how about to the neighbor that was your second choice, and don't take offense to that. Tell that neighbor, your second choice, it's time to expand. We're believing that God is calling us to expand. He's calling us to expand our reach. He's calling us to expand our faith. He's calling us to expand what we're surrendering, our sacrifice. We just believe that God is calling us into this season. And it's just been kind of bubbling underneath the surface for quite a while now, that God's just calling us to a little deeper waters. A few weeks ago, we had this incredible night of worship and prayer, and it just feels like ever since then, am I right, Drew? It's like there's just been this wave coming through our church, like during worship, like just like the Holy Spirit just seems to be moving and just taking us deeper and deeper. And we just believe that God's trying to stretch us a little. He's trying to expand us a little, and that's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable sometimes, because sometimes you got to get uncomfortable to end up where you really want to end up. If we just lived our lives in the comfort zone, then we wouldn't make it very far. We believe God's just calling us to stretch a little bit, to expand. And today I'm excited to talk on this subject, expansion. I'm excited to be in the middle of this campaign with you. And today we're going to be reading from the book of 2 Kings. So if you brought your Bible, you can begin to get that out right now. If you didn't, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. If you didn't, that's totally okay. It's going to be on the screen in just a moment, and you can follow along with me there. 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you don't know where that is, just flip to the table of contents. It's all right. Don't pretend you're in 2 Kings when you're really in Revelation, all right? Though I won't be able to tell, your neighbor can, and they're judging you. So don't do that. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Seems like an odd question, right? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside as it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. How many of you know that we serve a God that fills to the brim? We serve a God that fills to the brim. If you came in needing something today, he ain't just going to half fill you up. He's not just going to put 20 bucks in the tank. He's going to fill you up to overflowing. Amen? To the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Today, if it's okay with you, and even if it's not, I'm the one with the microphone, so there's not much you can do about it. Today, I'm going to be talking on the subject, expand your capacity. Because I believe that as God's calling us to expand as a church, he's really just calling myself and you to expand ourselves, right? Because we are the church. And if we want Brave to expand, which I know every single one of you in this place, you want to see this room packed out, amen? You want to see people come in here and hear the good news of Jesus Christ, amen? We're called to expand, but if we're going to expand as a church, you're going to have to expand your capacity. And I'm going to have to expand my capacity. And here's the interesting thing about capacity is, capacity isn't like a hard drive. It isn't like memory on your phone. You know, like you, like ladies out there, you have so many pictures on your phone, so many selfies, let's be honest, with you and your girls hanging out, that your phone gets like bogged down, and it gets to a point where you can't put one more thing on there. Am I right? If you guys ever reach that point on a computer or on a phone, it happens. And when that happens, normally like that thing, that sucker will crash on you. You know what I'm talking about? But we don't think that our capacity as a church and our capacity as believers is like a hard drive or like a phone. We believe our capacity is more like a muscle. You know what I'm talking about? Because muscles, they can be expanded. You see, muscles can be strengthened. And I believe, we believe God's calling us to strengthen a little. And with some intentional effort, just like with a muscle, we can stretch ourselves. We can expand ourselves so that we can do more than we ever thought possible with God in us, amen? So we're calling you to expand your capacity today. That's what we're talking about. Have you guys ever tried to hold your breath underwater for a long time? You guys ever tried to do that as kids? Any, raise your hand, I need some participation. Okay, awesome. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only weirdo out there that did that. Because I was thinking about it this week as I was prepping for the message. I'm like, man, you must be really bored as a child to say, let's see who can deprive their body and brain of oxygen for the longest before they pass out. And somehow that seems like a good idea. But we've all done it. You guys just admitted it, all right? I'm not the only fool here. I remember, though, one summer, you know, one specific summer, me and my brother just happened to be really bored that summer. And we spent a lot of time at the community pool. And somewhere along the way, we just got so bored that we decided, hey, let's just deprive our bodies of oxygen again, and let's see how long we can go. And at first, if you guys have ever done this, at first, you're like, I'm just going to make it 30 seconds. And you like barely make it. You know what I'm talking about? You like barely get by. And I remember me and my brother, of course, being the competitive brothers that we are, trying to compete with each other, see who can hold their breath the longest, see who can swim more laps than the other without coming up for air. And you know, you'd be there, and you're like, all right, I'm going to hold my breath for a minute. And then 30 seconds goes by, and you're already starting to see the lights from heaven. Like, and 40 seconds goes by, and you're like, man, you're starting to confess your sins because you're about to go in 45 seconds and 50 seconds, and you're like seeing your life in a flashback. You know what I'm talking about? And then 1 minute goes by, and you're like, you come up for air. You barely make it. What's interesting, though, is your lungs can expand their capacity. Can they not? Because by the end of that summer, I'm not making this up, seriously, by the end of the summer, I was able to hold my breath for 3 minutes 45 seconds. Just under 4 minutes underwater. That's not a joke. All right? Yeah, that's cool. I can use an applause for that. Thanks, man. That is good stuff. And what I'm trying to preach to you this morning, what I'm trying to tell you this morning, is that our capacity as a church, it can expand. It's just going to take some effort. It's just going to take a little more work on our part. And I know that you guys are with us, and I know you guys are ready. So that's why we're going to be digging into this scripture today and really unpacking how we need to expand our capacity and what areas specifically we need to expand our capacity in. But first, before we really dive into this scripture, if it's all right with you, we're just going to pray and give the remainder of this service to God. So why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads. God, we thank you so very much that today you're going to speak a mighty word, a moving word to our church. And you're just using me. I'm emptying myself of myself right now. God, would you give me the words that you have for Brave this morning? God, we are gathered here not to hear the word of a man, but to hear the word of our Father in heaven. God, so speak to us. Our ears are open. Our spirits are receptive. We are ready for an encounter from you. We are ready to hear from you. We are ready, Lord, to begin expanding as a church, to begin expanding in our personal lives, to begin expanding our capacity. So would you be with us today? Lead this every moment. Guide us in Jesus' holy and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Everyone say, expand your capacity. Everyone turn to a neighbor and say, it's time to expand your capacity. And no, I'm not talking about like this capacity, all right? Hey, so a few months ago, I I don't know what had happened. Oh, did I lose you, man? Can you stay with me? Dude, I'm sorry. Give it up for Drews. You just helped me, man. He really dislikes me right now, but he loves me. So he's gonna help me preach today. It soothes me, all right? And I know it soothes you too. Okay, so a few months ago, I don't know what happened, but I don't know, I realized that I was getting married, and I was looking at my body at the time, and I was like, man, can I be honest with you? I'm like, I'm not sure I'm ready to be naked in front of someone right now. Like, I just wasn't confident in what was happening. That was a little too much. We'll rewind and cut that out of the podcast. Thanks, man. We have this relationship, this connection going today. I just, you know, took that leap and it fell flat on my face. It's all good. So, I wanted to find a way to, you know, just kind of get a little more fit, a little more healthy. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys, before your marriage, right, you're like, that's when everyone starts to work out, right? That's when everyone starts to fix things. It's at the New Year's, right before they get married. And I'm like, dude, my wedding date is approaching, and it's getting closer and closer, and I'm getting bigger and bigger, and I just need to fix this. I need to figure something out. And, you know, in my life before, I had tried to get healthy, and, you know, I wasn't incredibly unhealthy, but I will say there was always two things I was unwilling to do. There's always two things. You guys know what they're going to be. I will not do cardio. I will not run. Some of you in here love running. Come up after service. I'll pray for you because there's something wrong with you. We'll exercise that running demon out of you. Just kidding. I won't do cardio. And I'm not giving up chocolate. All right, so I love chocolate, and I love sweets, I love brownies, cookies, ice cream, and Andrews, isn't it true? For so long, I was like the butt of everyone's joke because I lived the single bachelor life. Like, I lived on Publix fried chicken and Nestle Toll House Ultimate Chocolate Chip Cookies. I lived on that. I'm not kidding you, all right? And when I went to McDonald's, I didn't just go to McDonald's and get like the McPick 2. I went to McDonald's, 10-piece chicken nugget, large fry, large Coke, double cheeseburger, ketchup only, hot fudge sundae, extra fudge, 3 chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, I memorized my order from McDonald's. All right? So I kind of had a bit of an unhealthy lifestyle going for me. I won't do cardio, though, and I won't give up my chocolate. I'm not going to give up my dessert. I was the guy eating like 3 desserts a day, all right? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I had a dessert. But I realized as the wedding got closer that wasn't really working for me. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I was going to have to change some things in order to see some different results. I was going to have to remove those two limits if I was really going to go beyond my limits. Sometimes if you want to get where you want to go, you got to remove the lid that you're putting on yourself. Sometimes you got to do a new thing, a different thing. And I would do these workout videos. If you guys know what I'm talking about, let me know. You guys know Beachbody, 21 Day Fix. You guys heard of that? So, okay, hey, I did it, all right? I did it, and this girl, she leads the whole thing. It's this 30-minute video. Her name's Autumn. And by the end, you hate Autumn because I'm not kidding. Like, you're working out, and you're just in the warm-ups, and you're like, like barely hanging on. And you get a little better and better, but it's just so funny. Like, Autumn never seems to sweat. She never seems to be out of breath. And she says the most hysterical thing, but man, it'll preach because I'm preaching on it today. At the most inopportune times, all right? You're like in a 60-second forearm plank, like shaking. Or you're like doing squats, or you're like, you know, doing the weight over the head, like knee thrust. And she'll say, if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. If you want something you've never had, you got to do something that you've never done. You got to remove the lid. You got to remove the limits. And in my head, you know, in these moments, I'm very unchristian, all right? Because I'm just like, I'm struggling. And I'm like, yeah, well, I've never thought about hitting a girl, but no, I'm just... If we want to do something as a church that we've never done, we got to do something we've never done. Amen. You guys know where I'm headed with this, am I right? God's calling us to expand beyond our limits, and so often we limit ourselves. It's not God limiting us, but how often do we find ourselves putting limit on God's limitless power, on God's limitless love, his limitless ability to use people like you and I, even though we're broken, his limitless ability to perform miracles? And so often we put a cap on that. We put a lid on that. And in this scripture, 2 Kings chapter 4, that's exactly what we find here. We find a woman who's putting limits on her life. Limits that don't belong there. Limits that God is about to blow through. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 says, "One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out." Now, one thing you need to know before we continue reading is Elisha, he was a prophet. Elisha was a mighty, mighty man of God. And Elisha was the successor to a man by the name of Elijah, okay? And Elijah lived an incredible life as well. He did some incredible things for God. But one day, this is one of those really cool stories in the Bible. You just got to read it, and trust me. One day, the Bible says that Elijah didn't die. He literally got taken up into heaven by a chariot of fire, okay? Like, talk about a cool music video. Like, he just gets taken up into heaven. It says he never died. Like, he just never died, went up into heaven, and Elisha's left there with the mantle of Elijah. And Elisha asks God, "Hey, God, can I get a double portion of what you gave to Elijah?" And what's really interesting is that the Bible tells us of exactly two times more miracles that Elisha performed rather than Elijah, because God answered Elisha's prayer. He was a man that was favored, so much so that when he was a younger Elisha, he was being bullied. 2 Kings chapter 2, if you don't believe me, read it later on. 2 Kings chapter 2, he was being bullied by some kids, and they were calling him Baldy. They're like, "Go away, Baldy. Go away, Baldy." You know, imagine today's day and age. "Go away. Your iPhone sucks." Like, they're just making fun of this guy. And Elisha just turns around, and guess what happens to the people that are making fun of Elisha? They get eaten by a bear. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up, all right? They get eaten by a bear. Elisha's like, "Yeah, don't mess with me. I got a bear behind my back." Like, just a crazy story. That just goes to show us this morning how blessed Elisha was. So there's a reason that this woman is going to Elisha. And I feel like someone today needs to hear this. Be careful who you're turning to in a time of trouble. Some of you are just turning to the wrong type of person for advice, for the pickup, for whatever it may be. Some of us are just turning to the wrong people. Make sure you're turning to someone whom you can trust. Someone who has not only your best interest, but God's best interest for your life. Amen? Be careful who you turn to. This woman, she does the very best thing she can. She turns to Elisha and she cries out, "My husband, who served you, is dead. And you know he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come." Everyone say creditor. "A creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." Everyone say slaves. You see, in this time, it was customary that if there was a family that could not pay a debt that they had over their family, they couldn't just declare bankruptcy to come out from under that debt. The people that you owed that debt to, who they called the creditor, they would come knocking at the door and they would take your children. They would take your sons to be slaves. And your sons, in this day and age, they would have to live a life of servitude, of indentured servanthood, just because of that debt. And this woman, she's facing a debt. These sons, they're facing a debt that they cannot pay on their own. And the creditor has come knocking on the door, and she knows exactly who it is. The moment she heard the first knock, her stomach sank, because they're coming to take all she has left in this world, which is her two sons. So it's no wonder that she comes crying to Elisha, "They're about to take my boys. Help me." Look what Elisha says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. Isn't that just an odd question? She's like, "Well, I don't know. Help me save my sons. Like, I need some moolah here. I need some money, Elisha." And he goes on to ask, "Tell me, what do you have?" Read this with me. "In the house. What do you have in the house?" He starts by asking what she already has. Isn't it interesting that in life it's easy to make excuses because of things you don't have? Isn't it so interesting that in this life it's easy to look on the exterior? "Oh, well, I don't have that. Oh, I don't have more financial resources. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have that talent." Whatever it is, it's easy to say, "Well, I don't have that. I don't have that." But one thing I want you to know today, here's how we've said it at Brave, is that God has given you everything you need to do what He's called you to do. Another way to put that, maybe a more tweetable way to put that, is where God guides, He provides. He's given you everything you need to do what He's called you to do. And as God is calling Brave to expand over this next season, I want you to know the miracle's in the house. That's why I'm preaching to you and not on the corner. Everything Brave needs is right here in this auditorium. It's right here in these seats, right here. We believe that if every single one of us in this place, we stepped up to the plate throughout this expansion campaign, that Brave would have everything it needs to reach as many people as possible. The miracle's in the house. Elisha's like, "Tell me, what's in your house?" Then she goes on to say, "Nothing at all. I don't have anything." Have you guys ever done that before? Maybe you're like me. Like, 2 days after you go grocery shopping, you go into the fridge, you go into the pantry, you're digging around, and you say those famous words, "There's nothing to eat." You guys know, because I do it too, all right? You just went shopping, "There's nothing to eat." That's all she's doing. Or maybe you're like me. Look, there's no denying it. Some of you have assumed it, but I love clothes, okay? I am a metrosexual for Jesus. He made me this way. He wired me this way, so don't judge me, because He'll judge you. But I know you've done this before. Ladies, it's okay. You can be with me more than the men on this one. You go into your closet, and your closet's full of clothes, and you say those words, "But there's nothing to wear. I don't have anything to wear. I got hands up back here." You know what I'm talking about. So this lady is doing exactly what we do. We're not too dissimilar. "I don't got anything, Elisha." "Well, I do have that little flask of oil. I do have that little jar of oil, I guess." And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can." Everyone say empty jars. Everyone say empty. "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." And so I know today that there's people here in this auditorium who want God to move in their life. Can I get an amen if you're wanting God to move in your life? Maybe you're facing something right now that you don't think you can face alone, and you're needing God to move. You're needing a miracle in your life. You're needing God to uplift you. You've been feeling real down and out lately, and you're needing God to uplift you. I have a question for you. When's the last time you emptied some time and space for Him? When's the last time you brought God an empty jar called space and time? God can't fill what's already full. That's so good right there. I'm going to say it again, even if I just got to encourage myself. God can't fill what's already full, Brave Church. And sometimes we ask things of God, and we're like, "God, I need, I need, I need, I need." And He's like, "Well, when's the last time you gave, you gave, you gave. And some of you have been kind of barely scraping by in your spiritual walk with Jesus. And I want you to know today, that is not by design. If you would just bring God that empty jar, if you would just give him some time in your life, watch how he'll fill that jar. Watch how he'll fill it to the brim. God can't fill what's already full, Brave. That's why we never like to say that we're full here. We will always make room. Because the day that we can't, the day we're at capacity is the day that God can't fill us anymore. And every single week, we come to gather here and we just try and empty ourselves before our Creator. And when he does that, he just pours out and he fills our church and he moves in our people. God is calling us to expand our capacity. I love this next line, verse 5. So she did as she was told. She did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. She did as she was told. If you're a person that's taking notes today, which I hope is most of you, I want you to know that expanding your capacity requires obedience. Expanding your capacity requires just simple, day-to-day, hour-by-hour obedience. If you're wanting to maybe go a little further in your walk, if you're wanting to go a little deeper in your faith, all it takes is just step-by-step obedience. And every step you take, God meets you there and he provides for you everything you need for your next step. It requires obedience, Brave. And if we're going to be a church that expands, if we're going to be a church that reaches as many people as possible, we have to be an obedient church. When God says jump, we not only jump, we say how high. When God says move, we move. When God says give, we give. When God says yes, we take it as yes. And when he says no, we take it as no. We will be an obedient church, amen? Soon every container was full to the what?
Brim.
Full to the what?
Brim.
Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more. He told her, it's like almost in shock. They're all gone. All the jars that we just went out to collect, they're gone. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. I love this picture here. Because God doesn't just half fill. He doesn't just three-quarter fill. He fills to the brim. And as soon as they ran out of empty jars, the oil stopped flowing. Here's what I believe God is trying to tell us through this passage today. This is like that one line I hope never leaves you. You determine the magnitude of the miracle. You determine the magnitude of God's provision and blessings in your life. Notice I didn't say that you are the supplier. She wasn't the supplier of the oil, but she did determine the magnitude of the blessing because she had to bring empty jars. And the moment those jars ran out, the oil ran out as well. The amount of work, faith, and obedience with the miracle determined the amount of blessing and provision that she received. And the same is true over us today, Brave. The amount of work, the amount of faith, the amount of obedience that we have determines the magnitude of the provision and blessing that God pours out over Brave. When she told the man of God, what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is what? Left over. I love that. You can live on what is what? God does not just get us by. He gets us by with leftovers. And I feel like this is the perfect time of year to be talking about leftovers, if you know what I'm saying, all right? There's a very special holiday coming up. And you know the very best cooks, moms, dads out there that cook for their family, the very best ones, they don't just cook to get you by that one meal. They cook for the leftover. They cook for the next day's meal as well. Isn't it like the best to eat it sometimes even the next day, even more than the original? God doesn't just get us by. God gets us by with leftovers. And I want to speak this over some of you today, that you don't have to just barely make it through this life. Some of you feel, if you're being honest with yourself, maybe life's a little average, mediocre right now. I want you to know that God wants to fill you to the brim and some. He wants to bless your life with leftover. You see, when God, I love this, when God offers peace, he doesn't offer peace like the world offers peace. He offers peace that surpasses all understanding. It's to the brim with leftover. When God offers grace, it's not just a normal grace. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgive you. It's a grace that's unending. It's a grace that never, ever fails. How about joy? When God offers joy, scripture says it's a joy that's unspeakable. He doesn't just fill the jar halfway. He fills it to the brim and then some. And I just wonder this morning if God's ready to pour out onto Brave, but we just have to be willing to empty ourselves. We just got to be willing to be obedient. And I wonder if God's up there saying, hey, Brave, I'm ready to expand you. Or maybe some of you right now, like you're entering a season of expansion. Maybe you're, you know, walking into a new chapter of your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe you just feel like God's stretching you recently. He's waiting for us to expand, but he's waiting for us to expand our obedience, for us to expand our faith, for us to expand our view, our vision. And today, there's three very specific areas that I want to talk with you about that I believe God is calling us as Brave to expand in. Three areas of expansion. And to stay in line with the story we're talking about today, three jars. Three empty jars that I believe God is wanting us to bring to him. The first jar, praying. As our church enters a new season of expansion, as we challenge you to enter this season with us, we are challenging you and asking of you to pray with us, to be praying with Brave. I wrote it down like this, and I don't want to mess it up because it's just so true. Your ability to believe will never catch up with God's ability to perform. Your ability to pray will never supersede what God can do in your life. So, Brave, let's make our prayers a little bigger. Because we serve a big God. And we could never outbelieve him. We could never outperform God. We're challenging you to stretch your prayers a little bit. And more specifically, our prayer for Brave is that Brave wouldn't just be big. I want you to hear me when I say that right now. Our prayer is not just that Brave would be big, all right? Look, we have found, you bring a helicopter and some eggs, we can draw a crowd, all right? That's not a church, though. We're trying to build the church. We're not just trying to be big. We're trying to be healthy. So as you pray for Brave, pray that we might be a healthy, obedient, God-fearing church. And here's what we know about things that are healthy. Here's what we know. You know it too. Healthy things tend to do what? Grow. That's exactly right. So we're not going to put the cart before the horse on this one. We're not just going to pray to be a big church. That's not our heart. Our heart is to be a healthy church. A church that's so healthy that when people see it from the outside, they're like, I need to know what's going on in there because it's good. It's different. They got love. They got life. They got hope in there. Our prayer is to be a healthy church. So pray with us. Please pray with us. Pray that over your own life. God, just help me to be more obedient. Maybe that's where you're at right now. You just need to be a little more obedient. Maybe that's the jar, but pray with us. And if you haven't done so already, please, it's a great, great reminder. Go, this isn't just some shameless plug, but go to our website, wearebrave.church, click on the expansion and scroll down and you're going to see a ton of really sharp looking wallpapers you can put on your phone. I have one on my phone right now so that every time I open it, I'm reminded to pray. So every time I open it, I'm reminded to pray, God, help Brave to be an obedient, healthy church, and let your will be done through Brave. Some of you, this season, you just got to expand your prayers. Maybe you've been praying 5 minutes a day. Maybe it's time to double that. Maybe you haven't been praying at all. Well, maybe it's time to double that too and start somewhere. It's okay. It's okay. This is not a church for perfect people. This is a church full of imperfect people just loving on our perfect God. All right, and he meets you where you're at. There's grace for where you're at this morning. So start somewhere. Dedicate some time, some space to God, and watch what he'll do in your life. Got it? Say, got it. The second area of expansion that I believe God's calling us to, serving. Serving. The second jar I believe that we're called to bring to God is that jar called serving. If we're going to expand our capacity to reach more, we're going to need to expand our dream team. If we're going to reach as many people as possible, we need as many people as possible serving at this church. We can't hold more people in this house than we can safely and excellently hold. You see what I'm saying here? We're going to reap what we sow. Oh God, I don't do cardio. I'm not giving up my Nestle Toll House cookies, God. Oh no, God, I don't serve. I know I don't pray. That's not for me. I'll say one thing, but I'm not going to spend a ton of time praying because I don't even know what's happening there. I don't do that. But what's incredible is just like this woman, just like even me in my life recently, when you take those limits off, God does things that you never even thought were possible. So we are encouraging you, we are challenging you to step up to the plate with us, Brave, and serve at Brave. Serve on our dream team. Find a place that fits you. Guys, we don't want you to hate showing up to church. Find a place you're passionate about. There are so many areas you can serve in. We got kids, we got tech production, we got hospitality. If you're like a great host out there, we have a hospitality team. If you're just a more manual labor guy, that's great too. We need a ton of that, all right? We set up Fridays, Sunday mornings, we tear down after service every week. There are so many, there's an events team. There are so many areas to help out here at Brave. We need you. If we're going to expand, we need you to expand. And if God's tugging on your heart right now, like maybe this is like that kick off the ledge you've been needing, tell us right now. Use that connection card that was in your chair on the back. Just hit Dream Team, check off Dream Team, put your information on there so we can contact you, and we'll let you know about the best place for you to get plugged in. If we're going to expand our capacity, we're going to need to expand our serving. Amen? The very last area, by far, the most controversial, you guys know what's coming, giving. Giving. And I want you to know this morning, maybe it's my youth, but I'm just unashamed to talk about money in church. I know for so many people, they get up in arms about this. But I have no issue doing this because every contribution you make, every dollar that comes into Brave, it leads to a changed life. It leads to an eternal life that's changed forever. That's why I'm unashamed to come up here and say we need to expand in this area called giving. We need to stretch ourselves a little more in this area. And what's incredible is when we do, God meets us. Money, the money that we're asking, the financial trust that we're asking you to consider, it's going towards reaching people. And last week, Pastor Ricky so eloquently laid out to our church. Can you guys give it up for Drew? You're doing such a great job, man. You're just, thank you, dude. Pastor Ricky last week, he so well casted this vision for this offering for our church. Because the expansion campaign, it's about an end of the year offering, a beginning of the year offering. Because we want to start this year in strength. We want to end this year and start this year in strength. So maybe this is the first time you're hearing this, but we're going to be aiming to collect $18,000 over the next couple months. That's all going to go towards reaching people. And maybe you need a little more details than that. That's totally okay and totally understandable. That $18,000 that you see on the screen, it looks like a large number. Yes, I get it. Trust me, we're the ones casting this vision. It's daunting for us as well. But here's what we know. If we were able to raise that money next year, 2018, right? 2018 next year, we're going to be able to put on some incredible outreach family events for our community. Okay, one of the things that we believe in as a church is that we're here to solve problems in our community. And this community, you guys know if you're a family in this community, one of the problems in this community is there's not much to do in this community. Am I right? Like there's just, it's so new. So every time that we put on a great family event, we see incredible attendance spikes. We see incredible growth from these great events. And every dollar is going to go towards putting on those incredible outreach events, those incredible events for kids in this community. And even more so, that someone might come to our event and they might think it's great and they might make brave their home and they might decide, you know what, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus, and they might commit their life to Jesus, and then they might decide to get baptized. And that's just how things work. It's just one of the tools that God is using to grow brave. That's why we believe in this. That's why we're asking you to stretch a little with us, to expand your capacity a little. We're unashamed about asking this. In the words of the philosopher, the famous lyricist Demi Lovato, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. How could I be sorry to invite you on this journey? How could I stand up here and be ashamed about inviting you to use your hard-earned money on something that makes eternal difference? How could I do that? Every bit of your contribution, it's going towards saving people, towards reaching people. And we're inviting you with us to make God known to as many people in Trinity, in Odessa, in Newport Richey, in Lando Lakes, in Holiday, and far, far beyond. I've preached this before, but it's so good I had to kind of rewind back to it. If you're taking notes, God blesses what you bring. He blesses what you bring. God can't bless what you don't bring to him. How could he fill those jars if she didn't first go find the jars and bring the jars? He blesses what you bring. And this story, it shows us what happens when we bring everything we have. It shows us what happens when we really empty ourselves and bring ourselves before God and say, God, I'm going to trust you with that jar. It's so hard for me to trust you with that jar, God, but I'm going to give it to you. And what we're believing is that God's going to refill your jar to the brim. God blesses what you bring. And I ask this question, I pose this question. What could happen if we brought God everything we have? What could really happen if we as a church brought everything to the table? I wonder how many people who don't have meals would have meals. I wonder how many people who are homeless wouldn't be homeless if the church really stepped up to the plate. There's this famous line within the church world, and I believe it to my core. It is why I believe I'm called to church work, because the local church is the hope of the world. I think the last number I read is like there's 2 billion people on this earth that claim to be Christian, that claim to believe in God. Man, if 2 billion people stepped up to the plate and started bringing all these jars to the table, there's not one problem on this earth we couldn't solve. That's why the local church is the hope of the world. That's why Brave, it's the hope of Odessa, of Trinity, of Florida, this nation, and beyond. Because if we would all just come and bring it all, God would bless it all. All we're trying to do is reach and save as many people as we possibly can. Think about the widow for a moment. The widow in 2 Kings, why did she go through all this effort to get the oil? Think about it. Why did she go have embarrassing conversations with her neighbors and say, hey, I need every empty jar in your house? That would have been a little awkward, right? Not, I need your sugar. No, I need that empty bucket there, that empty cup there. I need everything. Why would she have done that? Why have she, would she have taken this step of faith? It's really simple, actually, the answer. She just wanted to save her sons. So if you're asking, why are we doing expansion? Why do we have to talk about money in church? Well, because we're trying to save people. And it's worth it. It's absolutely and unequivocally worth it to us. We're just trying to go out there and share the good news. Was the oil that that widow spent on saving her sons, was it worth it to her? I think so, right? So are the prayers going to be worth it? Is all the hours you're going to put into serving going to be worth it? Is all the giving that you're going to be doing, is it all worth it? Well, last year, maybe some of you weren't here. I know there's a good deal of you that weren't. We closed the year by raising $12,000 for our previous campaign offering. That's incredible. That's something to celebrate. And just like we ask if it's worth it, was it worth it for her? I want to give you 19 reasons that that $12,000 was absolutely worth it. Stephanie Lane, Kazumi Coker, Jessica Wagner, Olivia Kayer, Rick Scott, Kylie, Alex, Vanessa, Umberto, Cindy, Phil, Linda, Tracy, Karen, Brandy, Steven, Nicholas, Carl. It was absolutely worth it. So it's going to be worth it again this year. And we're asking you to expand a little, to stretch with us a little. 100% participation. Bring everything you have and watch what God can do through our church. Amen? Man, you guys fire me up this morning. You're going to get me in trouble because when Pastor Ricky realizes I preached over time, he's going to tell me something about it, but it's all right. I love it. You can't shout me down. You're not going to scare me. It's worth it. And we, Brave, to take it back to the top, we will determine the magnitude of this miracle. So go collect every empty jar in your life that you can and bring it. Bring it. And watch the miracles that God's going to perform through Brave. Some information that we just want to make sure that you have for this expansion campaign. Amanda, I think the slide's in there, but just a couple days. Yeah, thank you. December 3rd, is that next week or 2 weeks? 2 weeks from now, two Sundays from now. She's like, that's our wedding rehearsal. Yeah, I know, babe. Thank you for reminding me. She just let me know I can't be here. December 3rd, we're turning in pledge cards. Here's all that means. We're asking for you to pray with us and pray with your family about what your contribution might be towards expansion, about what the very best is you can bring towards this offering as we try and reach as many people in this city as possible. December 3rd, we're going to come together as a church and we're going to fill out our pledge cards. And then we're going to have two collection dates, one on December 24th and one, really cool, on January 21st. That will be our one-year anniversary as Brave. So, guys, we are believing that miracles are going to happen, and we are believing that the miracle is in the house. The miracle is right here. You determine the magnitude of the miracle. We will determine the magnitude of the miracle at Brave Church. December 3rd, please be praying with us. Be praying with your family, intentionally giving God some time and space and praying and asking Him what your very best is that you could bring as we go and know God and make Him known. What could happen, Brave, if we brought every empty jar? What could happen if over this campaign we all vowed to pray, serve, and give? Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the mighty word that you've spoken over Brave. God, thank you for calling us out onto the water. God, we've been in the boat for a little while, and you're calling us out onto the water. You're calling us to stretch a little beyond our comfort zone. God, and we're believing that you're going to meet us there. God, we're believing that there's a miracle in this house. We're believing, God, that through this work, that through Brave, hundreds, thousands will come to know you. God, so impress it on our hearts what our contribution is supposed to be, where we're supposed to serve, what we're supposed to give, and how we're supposed to pray. God, over this next season, we're inviting you to stretch us, to expand our capacity, to expand us beyond what was once our limitations. We're inviting you to take the lead. In Jesus' name, amen.